It's a real privilege to be able to say a few words to those of you at Baltimore Bible Church. I have great confidence in what the Lord is going to do there because I have so much confidence in Pastor George Lawson. We go back to, first getting acquainted with George and Jennifer on an Alaska cruise a number of years ago, and then through the years to see the Lord continue to work in his life and prepare him for ministry and then for him really to fulfill the vision to go back to the East Coast and plant a church. And I know that's a challenging place to do ministry, but a vital place as well. And I guess maybe the most encouragement that I could give to you as a church is to believe the words of our Lord when he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Gates of Hades is a kind of euphemism for death. And the power of death was given to Satan. That's the biggest weapon Satan has. And even that cannot halt or hinder the Lord building his church. It was coming out of seminary that I looked ahead and just kind of wondered, where would the Lord take me? I felt called to ministry. I'd seen it modeled in my father and grandfather. I really didn't know whether I'd be a missionary. I thought I might want to be a missionary in Europe, even Germany. I learned German just in case the Lord might want me to do that. But I did know one thing for sure, and that was that the Word of God was the voice of God, and that everything God had said was in the pages of Holy Scripture. It was the inerrant, authoritative Word of God. I was raised with that unassailable conviction in my mind and heart. I also knew that God did all his work through his Word, that we're begotten again by the Word of truth. That is, salvation comes by the hearing of the Word. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. The power is in the gospel. The gospel is in the Word. And then in John 17, our Lord said in his prayer to his Father, "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth." So the power is in the Scripture to save, and the power is in the Scripture to sanctify. And of course, the power is in the Scripture to edify and equip and to even give hope. We have comfort. We have hope, Scripture says, in your Word. I was convinced that the Word was everything. So when I went off to seminary, all I really wanted to do was to learn how to understand the Bible. And I can honestly say it wasn't so much that I thought about preaching or teaching. It was that I wanted to know the true message of God. I knew the interpretation, the right interpretation, was the revelation. That until you had divided the word correctly, until you had a true interpretation, you didn't have the revelation. So I knew I needed somebody to teach me the tools of interpretation, because the interpretation of Scripture is not a free form exercise. It is according to fixed rules. So I went off to seminary to learn how to rightly interpret the Word of God. And along the way, I learned a very profound and foundational lesson, and that is this: the Bible, the Scripture, is its own best interpreter. The Reformers used to talk about analogia scriptura, that is to say, the Scripture is analogous to itself. That is to speak of the Scripture's consistency, since you have one author, God, who is completely consistent. What comes from God must also be completely consistent. And that is to say, from the negative viewpoint, there can be no contradictions in Scripture. And even though maybe on the surface there appear to be difficult things, challenging things, and even sometimes contradictory things, there are no real contradictions, because God cannot contradict himself. He speaks the truth and only the truth. And the challenge lies with the interpreter to come to a true understanding of Scripture. And again, as I thought about that, I was drawn into the book of Revelation, which is a book that a lot of preachers avoid. But the book of Revelation, which in many people's minds would appear to be the most difficult in all the Bible to interpret, maybe matched in the Old Testament, say, by Ezekiel or some portions of Daniel, but most people would say that the book of Revelation is very hard to interpret, and yet it is the only book that starts with this kind of blessing. Blessed is the one who hears and understands the words in this book. And there is God saying, you can understand the book of Revelation. And this again speaks to what we call the perspicuity of Scripture. That is to say that it is clear. Taken at face value, using the same hermeneutics, the same interpretive principles, you can come to a true and accurate understanding of Scripture. That's absolutely critical. So what I knew the Lord was showing me directly was that I needed to spend my life studying to understand the true meaning of Scripture and then proclaiming that true meaning in whatever place the Lord put me, whether it was in a foreign land or right here in Southern California, as it turned out. And that if I would do that, the Lord would grow a church. And so very early on in my ministry, I used to tell people, my job is to take care of the depth of the ministry. God's job is to take care of the breadth of it. You know, I'm into producing a sermon that is a true interpretation of Scripture. I'm in the production side of it by the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit. God is in the distribution side of it. It's not my responsibility to deal with the extent of the ministry, but rather to deal with the depth of the ministry. Another way to look at that is, I go back to my days as a football player when I was in university. And, I like to win, and I would love to be able to control outcomes, but I learned some pretty powerful lessons in my athletic career. There were a lot of people on my team that I had to depend on, and there were a whole lot of people on the defensive side who were trying to prevent us from doing what we did. And I learned quickly that I could not control outcome, but I could control effort, and that I needed to make the maximum effort to fulfill the responsibility that I had and let the Lord produce whatever outcome He desired. And so in a very real sense, I have been a spectator. I was having a conversation with a lady in our church this morning and just saying, look, I am not the explanation of Grace Church. Not at all. I have been as much a spectator as people sitting in the back row of Grace Church. I have watched what the Spirit of God has chosen to do in this place through His Word. It didn't happen fast. I came in 1969, so I'm a couple of years away from 50 years of ministry here. Half a century, It didn't happen fast, but over the course of time, the Word of God has produced remarkable exponential effects. When I was recently asked if I could go back into my early life and do anything different, what would it be? And there might be a number of things I could think of, but one thing that came to mind was I would be more patient. I think early on, I was in a hurry to make things happen. And I was drawn up short one time when I did an interview, and a reporter said to me, do you have a desire to build the church? And I thought about it and said, well, wait a minute. I don't have a desire to build the church because Christ said He would build His church, and I don't want to compete with Him. That was a wake-up call fairly early in my ministry. And I think the good news for Baltimore Bible Church or any other church is you have a faithful godly pastor. You have a man who teaches you the Word of God, and the Word will do its work. It'll do its work in your lives to whatever extent the Lord has planned, to whatever level the Lord has planned. No one could predict that we'd be living in a day like we're living today, when the good news is your pastor's sermons can be heard all over the planet almost instantaneously. And the Lord will honor His truth. He will send His truth to and fro throughout the whole earth. However many people may or may not be gathered on a Sunday with you, the Word of God has no bounds. The Apostle Paul said, pray this for me. Pray that the Word will have free course. That's what you want. Love your pastor. Pray for him. Support him. Trust the power of the Word in the hands of the Holy Spirit. There's so little of that today. Everybody wants to build the church with a marketing technique. That is why, well, for example, the doctrine of sanctification is missing in the contemporary church. To call people to holiness, godliness, virtue, righteousness, obedience, to call people to deny themselves, turn from their sin, forsake the world, love not the world, to ask people to do that in some situation would empty the building. The church has become in many ways indistinguishable from the world. And in this kind of contemporary church setting, you don't hear preachers preaching holiness, godliness, virtue. And yet, that's where we as believers live. Justification, a past event. Glorification, a future event. Our justification, a miracle that happened in a moment. Glorification, a miracle that happens in a moment. But in between, all these years of our lives are lived in the realm of sanctification, as the Spirit of God is desiring to conform us continually to the image of Christ, to produce in us Christ-like character. And that's why, as a pastor, you're focused on that one thing as a shepherd. God will take care of the glorification. God in His sovereignty took care of the justification. The role of the pastor and the leaders of the church is to be consumed with the process of sanctification, the decreasing of sin, and the increasing of holiness. But that is so foreign to the contemporary church because people go there to get a psychological boost, to feel good about themselves. They go there because it feels like the kind of worldly experience that they prefer. It's not about self-denial. It's not about fleeing the world. It's not about running from sin. It's not about pursuing holiness. It's not about pursuing Christ-likeness. That just is not what it's offering. In fact, in a very bizarre kind of reversal, churches today are offering people what their unredeemed hearts would want: success, prosperity, a sense of accomplishment, self-identity, purpose in life. So a church that is a true church, rather than depending on making sure you give people what they want, is committed to the Holy Spirit building a church. And your pastor and you folks as well know that if the Holy Spirit is going to build the church, He's going to build it on the Word of God, and it's going to be progressively sanctified. So I pray for that for you. I pray for faithfulness and diligence and encouragement and support as you hold up your pastor and other leaders in the church. And I want to see the Lord do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That same power that raised our Lord from the dead. That's the power that builds His church. And I'll be praying for all of you. Thank you.